Welcome to Talking About Organizations, a podcast on organization and management studies, graciously supported by our listeners in the Management Learning Journal. This is a supplement to episode 104, where we discuss a book chapter by Arthur L. Stinchcomb titled Social Structure in Organizations, published in the Handbook of Organizations in 1965 by Rand McNally and edited by James March. In this famous chapter, Stinchcomb laid out a case for expanding the study of organizations outward to include social structure, bringing attention to innovation as well as imprinting and inertia. He posited that societies had significant effects on how organizations emerge and operate, and that organizations in turn impact relations among groups in society. He would present his argument in three parts. First, that social structures had an imprinting effect on the formation of new organizations, such that these initial forms often persisted despite efforts to change them. Thus, to the second point, each type of organization reflected the history of its creation, both in terms of the organization and the social structures that dominated in a historical context. And finally, organizations also influenced the social divisions in society, such as between the higher and lower classes. As with many ideas that formed during the 1960s, one might take such relationships between social structures and organizations for granted, but that was not the case when Stinchcomb advanced his argument. One of the central ideas in the book is the liability of newness, which subtitles the first major section. It suggests that new forms of organizations are liable to fail unless they overcome challenges around the way new structures within and around organizations are understood, shared, and enacted. Thus, many new forms of organizations fail, and those that succeed often forge new ways of organizing work that endure despite changes and competitive pressures. After summarizing a wealth of supporting studies to justify this stance, he opens the next section with a simple question. Why are organizational forms that originated at different times different at the time of their formation? His answers include the economic and technical conditions of the time, the availability of elites who control resources essential to the new organization's success, and the new organization's strong connections to the labor market. The variety of contexts within which a new organization forms is extensive, so this does not result in a deterministic model. Instead, these forms will emerge according to the ability to obtain resources needed to serve the organization's purposes, such as the influences of labor markets. Considerations on social stratification conclude the chapter in a discussion where Stinchcomb clarifies that he is departing from the classic concepts of class relations. Rather, his concern is about the distribution of prestige from superiors to inferiors and the dependencies that superiors may have on the inferiors themselves, or the independence of those inferiors from the organization. When subordinates gain independence through job security or political organizing, Stinchcomb says that organizations become more humane. As a foundational text, Stinchcomb's work has influenced numerous subsequent studies and has been cited tens of thousands of times. Now, while Stinchcomb's primary focus was on how societies influenced organizations, social and technological changes are raising questions about how organizations influence societies nowadays through new ideologies, employment relations, and work structures. And that's all for now. We invite you to listen to the episode available in two parts on our website at www.talkingaboutorganizations.com or through your favorite podcast streaming service. We also thank the Management Learning Journal for their generous support and the support of our wonderful listeners. Thank you for listening and have a great day.